All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Marching beautiful blot of Gimel. We're going to finish the parak, begin a new one. Today's daf is Pei Gimel 83, and we are picking up on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines down from the top, Nichnos Lechaper. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Aaron and Alana Weinberg, in honor of Yonatan Weinberg's 7th anniversary of a complete refuah. We hope that Yonatan has beautiful health and gizund al-meh ve'esim shalom tovos. All right, so let's begin. Nichnas l'chaper. So remember again, the Mishnah, just to quote you from the Mishnah is speaking about still in the topic of chatos blood that is taken inside of the Heichal, inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So remember again, one thing we've established that everybody agrees with, the reason why everybody agrees with it is because it is a pasuk in the Torah, is that halacha l'maisa, if chatos blood is brought inside of the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes invalid for use. Now remember again, the Mishnah was dealing with a case of where I collected, or the Kohen collected, two cups of blood, and one of them remains in a sanctioned area, one of them enters into the Beis HaMikdash, the illegal area. So we were discussing yesterday about what the ramification is for the cup of blood that remains in the permitted area. What happens when one goes inside the Beis HaMikdash? What's the status of the one that remains in the permitted area? So the last part of the Mishnah says, Nichnas lechaper, if he went inside ultimately again to effect atonement with the chatas blood, afa pisha lo kiper, even though again he did not actually do kapara, which Rabbos remember again, kapara is performed ultimately through zriga, then what? Pasul. Nevertheless, the blood will be pasul. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon says, ad shiyechaper. Right, Rabbi Shimon says, the blood is only pasul if you mamish use it in the context of kapara. So now let's see the Gemara. Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Ne'emar kan lechaper bakodesh. It says over here to atone in the kodesh. Ne'emar lehalon. And it says again, ultimately by the avodah of Yom Kippur, that no person shall be in the Oal Moed when Aron HaKohen comes lechaper bakodesh. Ma lahalon b'shelo kiper. Just like over there, it's talking about a case where kapara has not yet been achieved. Afkan shelo kiper. So to over here, it's even referring to a case where what? Kapara was not done yet. Yet, the Torah is going to tell me that the blood itself is still possible. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Ne'emar kan lechaper, ve'ne'emar lehalon, ve'es parachatos, ve'es sirachatos, asher huva damam lechaper. Ma lehalon, bishakiper. Just like over there, it's talking about a case where kapara was achieved. Afkan bishakiper. So too over here again, the blood only becomes invalid if brought in and used for kapara purposes. But my kamiflagi, so we'll say ultimately again, what are they arguing about? What is in the kodesh hamachlokes? So the Gemara says, mar savar don in chutz michutz, ve'in don in chutz mipnim. One opinion says that also when it comes to learning out halacha, we shall learn out items done from outside of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, from other items done outside of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, ve'in don in chutz mipnim. But you can't learn out that which is done outside of the Beis HaMikdash from that which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Again, in this case, that which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash, a reference to Yom Kippur. Umar Sabar, Donin Behema Mi Behema, Ve'in Donin Behema Mi Ba'al Mi Adam. And the other opinion says, no, we learn out Behema from Behema, in other words, we learn out sacrificial law of animals from animals, and we do not learn out sacrificial law of animals from people. Of course, that's the machlokis in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda says, remember, Rabbi Huda's statement in the Mishnah was, im hichnis shogeg kosher. Ultimately, again, if you end up taking the blood inside the Beis HaMikdash, the chatas blood inside the Beis HaMikdash, b'shogeg, accidentally, the blood still remains permitted for use. Still remains kosher. So the Gemara says, ha, mezid pasul. So you can infer from this that if the blood was intentionally taken inside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then it would be pasul. Now the Gemara asks, well, what's the rest of the context? What's the rest of the context? Bishakiper or shalobikiper. Does that mean it was taken inside the Beis HaMikdash intentionally and used for atonement or not used for atonement? Amrav Yirmiya, mimashma shene'emar ves parachatos ves sirachatos. Asher huva estamam el oamoy lechaper bakodesh, ma tam lomar v'hasorif. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, remember again, once the pasuk tells me that ultimately it was taken inside, so the Torah says, Lo Seachel, why does it have to say by HT Saref? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, why does it have to indicate to me that ultimately, again, that once it becomes Tamei, that one who handles it has to go ahead and purify his clothing? To which the Gemara says, Ma Tamulomar. So the Gemara says, Ma Tamulomar Vasaref. Ma Tamulomar Vahasaref Legufe Itztrich. But say, ultimately, again, that word Hasaref teaches me a very important halacha, which is that ultimately, again, the one who burns anything of a sacrificial nature has to go ahead and purify his clothing. His begad to become Tamei. Ela Ma Tamulomar Chatos. Rather, why does it have to say Chatos? Or I should say Chatos, Chatos. Because we'll say in general, I only know about the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippur, whose bodies are burned by the Beis Hadeshen, that they convey Tumah to the person who is burning the offering. Gemara says, Shar Nisafin Minayin, how do I know that even my other Karbanos, which are burned as well, the person who handles them, ultimately again, the clothing will become Tameh. Talmud Lomar, Chatos, Chatos, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learns this Abbasah from the double lashon of Chatos, Chatos. Rabbi Meir says, Eino Tzarech, the drush is not necessary. Harehu Omer ve'es parachatos ve'esira chatos. Suppose, because the Pasuk says parachatos and sira chatos, Shein Talmud Lomar lechaper, the Pasuk doesn't need to say the word lechaper. Ma Talmud Lomar lechaper. Aye, so why is lechaper there? To teach me that anything that affects kapara, he who goes ahead and burns the item contracts tuma of the clothing. Rabbi Huda, lechaper lemashmolei. What's Rabbi Huda says? He doesn't. He says the drasha of lechaper. He's not. He doesn't learn it. My timer. La mishul nebayle legzer shava. Why doesn't he learn out from the drasha of lechaper? Must be ultimately that he's using it for the Gzeirah Shavah. I'm supposed to say, good, that's a sugya. I'll just tell you the Rambam on this is Perek Beis Halacha Tez. I actually made reference to this a little bit, specifically regarding this. Okay, let me take a step back. Here's what we know. What we know is that based on yesterday's sugya, we learned the halachos concerning when there's two cups of blood. So we're not going to chazer that again. What we know in a general sense is that halach lemaisa, once blood of a chatos is brought inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the blood becomes invalid. That's what we've established. Now the shaila becomes, if it's brought, is it just stam that it's brought in? Or does it actually have to be used for something in order for it to become invalid? So with that, the Rambam writes as follows. Parak Beis Halacha Tezayin, Hilchos Psuli HaMokdoshin. Dam Chatos, Shech Niso Lechaper Bo Bifnim. If you have blood of a Chatos that was brought inside of the Beis HaMikdash, Lechaper, to be used for atonement. I will say now, to be used for atonement means what? For Zrika, for sprinkling purposes. Belo Chiper. And it turns out that what happened? It wasn't used. It just wasn't used in a kapara context. Below hiza mimenu bifnim klum, and there was no blood of the chatos sprinkled inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So listen to this. So now understand the case. If it was brought in and used for sprinkling, that's an easy case. What's the status of the blood? Pasul. What happens if it was brought in but not used for any type of avoda? So is the blood valid? Meaning, the nafkamin would be, if it's brought back outside, is it valid once again for use? So the Rambam says, it depends. Im hichnis b'shogeg, harei ze kasher, umazeh mimena b'chutz. If it was accidentally brought in, then what? Then the blood is still kasher. And if you bring the chatos blood back out of the Beis HaMikdash, it is usable. Shehari lo kiper b'kodesh, v'mechniso b'mezit. But if it is brought in intentionally, then what? Pasul. So we'll say, bottom line, halacha l'maisa comes out as follows. If the blood is brought in intentionally to the Beis HaMikdash, the blood is pasul. Whether it was used for avoda or not used for avoda, the act of intentionally bringing it into a forbidden space renders it unfit for use. If it was brought in b'shogeg, the kohen just made a mistake. He brought in chatas, brought into the base of mikdash, it was a mistake. Then it depends. What does it depend on? If it was used for azah, if it was used for blood applications and sprinkling, then by definition it is pasul. But if it wasn't used for anything inside of the base of mikdash itself, it could simply be brought back outside and once again applied on the mizbeach as a regular chatas. Good. We'll say hadron alach kol azvachim shenesarvu mazel tov. Weiter. HaMizbeach Mekadesh Es Haroilos. Well, so now we're going to get into a very interesting sugya. The Mizbeach sanctifies that which is ro'i lo, that which is fit for. Now look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. HaMizbeach Mekadesh Afilo Davar Pasol Sha'ala LeMizbeach Kachu HaMizbeach Le'asos Lachmo Ve'imoridin Oso. So we'll say, the Mishnah is giving me a principle. And we're going to discuss, we're going to debate the scope of the principle, but the principle is as follows, that once something comes on the Mizbeach, even if what, it really should not be offered. Once it comes up, it doesn't come off. Once it comes on, it doesn't come off. So now we're going to debate this. We'll say, that's the principle, that's what it means. HaMizbeach Mekadesh, the Mizbeach sanctifies that which is ra'ui lo, that which is fit for it. So even though, again, it shouldn't have been offered, once it's put up, we don't take it down. Now, what's the scope of that? So now we're going to see a machlokas. Rabbi Yeshua, so we'll say, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua are going to argue this in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol ha'ra'i le'ishim, anything that is fit for the fire. Im ala lo yerid, if it's fit for the fire, then if it goes up on the Mizbeach, even though again we're talking about items that are pasul, should not have been offered up. But if it was at one point in time fit for the fire, once it's put on the Mizbeach, im ala lo yerid, you don't take it down. Shnei Amar, hiya ola al mukda. This is the ola al mukda. We'll say al mukda means on the fire. Ma ola shirai le'ishim, just like an ola, we'll say, which is fit for the fire. Im also lo teirid, if it goes up on the Mizbeach, it is not taken down. So again, I want to be clear. What does it mean if it's up on the Mizbeach, it's not taken down? So what that means is, if it's put up on the Mizbeach, and then someone remembers that what? It's really a disqualified carbon. You don't take it down. You don't take it down. Obviously, if it's a regular carbon, totally kosher, and I decide, you know what, I change my mind. I'd rather, you know, have a barbecue at home. Then obviously you can't do that. Goes without saying. The chiddush over here is, I remember that the carbon is disqualified. I still can't take it off the altar. So Rabbi Yeshua says, we learn from this that anything that is normally put on the fire, fit for the fire, once it goes on the fire, you don't take it down. Once it's on the fire, you don't take it down. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, not yet. Rabbi Gamliel says, Kalaray lemizbeach. Rabbi Gamliel says, anything that is fit for the altar, im ala lo yered. Once it goes on the altar, it's not taken down. Shnei Amar, hi ha'ola al mukda ala mizbeach. Because the pasuk says, this is the ola, hi ha'ola al mukda al ha'mizbeach. So we'll say, remember again, this the pasuk in its entirety reads, Savis Aaron Vezman of Leimor, Zos Taras Ha'ola, Hiya Ola Al Mukda Ala Mizbeach Kol HaLayla Adaboker. So the Shiloh, the Machlokas, of course, is going to be what you put the emphasis on. Rabbi Yoshua is putting the emphasis on Mukda, the fire. Therefore, again, anything that is put on the fire, once it's on the, anything that's fit for the fire, once it's put on the fire, it does not come off the Mizbeach. Rabbi Gamliel, anything that is fit for the altar, once it goes on the altar, it does not come down. Ma'ola Shiriyul Mizbeach, just like Ola, that is fit for the Mizbeach, once it goes up, it does not come down. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. I've called Devar Shurai the Mizbeach, I'm also loteried. So to anything that goes in the Mizbeach, once it goes up, it does not come down. So both say, so okay, now, what does it sound like? Sounds like what? They're saying the same thing. To which Rabbi says, it's actually a very interesting Mishnah, because this Mishnah, by the way, I know you've picked up on this already, is actually unusually thorough for a Mishnah. And in fact, Mishnah says, Ein bein divrei Rabbi Gamliel, divrei Rabbi Yoshua. So the Mishnah already picks up on this. There really is no nafka minu term Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, except for the following case. Ela, hadam, v'hanesachim. We'll say, listen to this. There is a nafka minu. What's a nafka minu? Blood and wine libations. We'll say, why is that the nafka minu? Where is blood placed? On the Mizbeach, but not where? Not on the fire. Nesachim, wine libations, are placed on the Mizbeach, not on the fire. Shira Begamiel Omer Lo Yerdu. So it's according to Begamiel who says that Kol Aroy Le Mizbeach Im Ala Lo Yeri, whatever is fit to the altar, once it goes up, it does not come down, applies to blood and to wine libations. Once they are put on the Mizbeach, we don't take it off, even if it turns out that they're invalid. However, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yerdu. Yet Rabbi Yeshua Bosei would say that what? If you apply blood or wine libations, and it turns out that what? That ultimately, again, it was invalid, you will take it down. Why? You wipe it off. You wipe it off. You wipe it down. You'll take it off. So ultimately, again, why? Because ultimately, that's not fit for the fires. That's only fit for the Mizbeach. That's fit for the Mizbeach, not fit for the fires. To which the Gemara says, Rishimon says as follows. So we'll say, now new topic. Well, not new topic, same topic, just another piece. So that's the first piece. Machlokes Rishon Gamliel. Rishimon says, Hazevach kasher unisachim psulim. We'll say if you have the following situation. If you have a situation of a carbon that is kasher, but the wine libations are psulim, or hanisachim ksherim vazevach pasul, or the wine libations are invalid, are valid, but the carbon is pasul, Afilu zeh v'zeh psulin, even if both are pasul, hazevach lo yerei, the carbon never comes off. However, v'hanesachim yerdu, but the wine libations ultimately again are removed. Rashi just points out over here as follows. Rashi says hazevach lo yerei, the mizbeach kadsha. So we'll say Rabbi Shimon seems to ultimately be saying the same thing as Rabbi. It sounds like he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yeshua, that ultimately, again, if you have a situation, well, we'll discuss who he's saying like. What he seems to be saying is the carbon always remains on the Mizbeach. The Nisachim potentially could be removed. Fine, we'll come back to Rabbi Shimon of the Gemara. But I will say, suffice it to say, we end off with an incredibly Yisraelistic Machlokes in Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. And again, just so you understand the flow of the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah is so fascinating. It begins with a statement. The statement is, HaMizbeach Mekadesh HaSaroilo, which is a principle that teaches me that even if something unfit comes on the Mizbeach, once you go on the Mizbeach, you don't take it off the Mizbeach. The Machlokes in Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel is then qualifying that statement. When or to what does that apply? So Rabbi Yeshua says, Kalarai li'ishim, whatever is burned on the fires of the Mizbeach, even if it was invalid, once it goes on, it does not come off. Rabbi Gamliel says, it applies to what? Kalarai li'mizbeach, whatever goes on the altar, not just what goes on the fire. What's the nafkamina between the two opinions? Right, the Mishnah tells us, dam and nisachim. Good. We'll say Amud Beis. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, ro'i lo in, she'in ro'i lo lo. Now here's what's interesting. So obviously, the statement of, the one thing that the Mishnah already taught me is that although the Mizbeach has this ability to go ahead and allow for something that was otherwise disqualified to go ahead and be offered up, it has to be ro'i lo, meaning it has to be something that is shayach to the Mizbeach. So if something, so ro'i lo means that this item, to say it differently, this item is something that belongs to the Mizbeach. There's just what? Right? There's some other disqualifying factor about it. But in its essence, it belongs on the Mizbeach. Masha Inkin, it sounds like that what? That if you were to put on the Mizbeach something that what? That has nothing to do, doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. In other words, never belongs on the Mizbeach. Then what? Then ultimately, again, you would take it down. That's the lashon of ro'i lo in, if it fits for the Mizbeach. But what? There's some other disqualifying factor that prevents it from being offered up. That's when we say, if you bring it on the Mizbeach, you don't take it down. She'ein ro'i lo, but if the item never belonged in the Mizbeach to begin with, then lo. Then we don't say that the Mizbeach affects acceptance, and in fact, you'd have to remove the item from the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara simply asks, Lemi utemai. Give me an example of this. Give me an example. Now, obviously, you could make up extreme examples. You know, you put your car on there. Okay, take it down. But that's not what we're talking about. We're saying in the realm of sacrifices. So ultimately, again, what is it that one could say doesn't even belong on the Mizbeach to the point that if you were to put it there, you would take it back down? So Marcel, Amar Rav Avos is actually very interesting. Lemeute kamotzin shkar kamtzin shelokitshu bikli. Oh, we'll say, watch this. You know what it comes to exclude? The case of a kometz that was never sanctified in the kli. Remember again, karban mincha. What happens with the karban mincha? Kohen takes a kemitza, three middle fingers, puts it in. Actually, remember we saw machlokas about how you do kemitza. Do you do kemitza like this, or do you do kemitza like this? You'll have to watch the video if you want to get this, my whole thing over here. Right? Like this or like that. So again, we pass him, he goes in from the top, then he shaves off the excess with the thumb and the pinky. That is the only part of the karban mincha that is offered up on the mizbeach. The rest of the karban mincha is consumed by the kohanim. Rabbi said the halacha is as follows. What does the kohen have to do with the kemitza? What is it with the kemitza? He has to put it in a kli sharis, in a service utensil. If he doesn't put it in a service utensil, then it is not sanctified. So the Gemara is an interesting case. The Republic is an interesting case. So what's an example of something that has no shaychus to the mizbeach, that even if you put it on, you would take it off? A kemitza that never went into a kli sharis. So if the kohen bypassed the kli sharis and he put the kemitza right on the mizbeach, what would be the halacha? Be the halacha? Take it down. Take it down. Kematzah shall come to look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, no, not yet. Sorry. Not yet. So again, so the idea would be, is apparently what the Gemara is talking about, which was is quite interesting, is that a kemitza without a kli sharis is apparently not even considered to be a true sacrificial item. Vaharaya, the proof to that is that even if you put it up, you would take it back down. Maskif la Ravina. So Ravina says, I don't understand. Maishna midu'ula. Why would this case be any different than the statement of Ula? Da amar Ula, emuri kachim kalim, shehelon lifnei zrikas damon. Because listen to this. If you have the limbs of kachim kalim that were put on the mizbeach before the sprinkling of the blood, lo yerdu. Ultimately, again, you don't take them down. Why? Naasu lachmo shal mizbeach. They become like the bread of the mizbeach. So what's I see here? Now the shayla. The truth is, this is a good kasha. So Ula says, let's say I go ahead and essentially I put up sacrificial parts of an animal, limbs of an animal, before Zrika. And I both say, now what's the status of the limbs before Zrika? So again, it's a karban, because Lemaisa, once you designate the animal while it's alive, it's a carbon, it's a carbon. So then once you shecht it as a carbon, it's a carbon. But the idea is the limbs have absolutely no place on the Mizbeach until after Zrika. Zrika is a necessary first step. So the Gemara is suggesting that limbs before Zrika should be the equivalent of what? Of the kemitza without a kli sharis. And what did we just say? What did Ula say? That if you put the limbs before Zrika on the Mizbeach, then what do you do with them? You leave them. So I would have said, therefore, what? If you end up putting the kemitza on the mizbeach, when Rabbi Osei, when? Before you put in the kli sharis, although it's not appropriate, let's be clear, but I would have thought that halacha lemaisa, you leave it on there and you do not take it back down. To which the Rabbi Osei, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Emur kachim kal lefnei zrikas daman, lo hovru lemizbeach. Rabbi Osei, they have not yet been set aside for the mizbeach. Shezrikas daman shalohen kovasam lechile gavoa leinyin me'ila. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, it's only with the Zrika that they are considered to be a chelik migavoa. Hekdish, true hekdish, linyan mila for mila purposes. Mashayin kim bekachim kalim, shayin mitchilas na gavoa, vemurayin olin, lemizbeach aval kachim kalim. I'm sorry, kachim kadashim. Shayin mitchilas na gavoa, vemurayin olin, lemizbeach aval kachim kalim, ein bar mila. So we'll say, so Rashi just pointing out over here that this is one of the distinctions between kachim kadashim and kachim kalim, about being subject to Me'ila only after Zrika. Not a detail we have to really get too immersed in right now. I will say, but for our purposes over here as follows, let's follow the flow. So the Gemara is being medayik in the Mishnah, that the din of the Mishnah, that once you put something on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down, even if it's invalid, only applies to something that is ra'i for the Mizbeach, that should be there. That should be there. But if it's not fit for the Mizbeach at all, then what? Then Allah l'maisi, you do take it down. What's an example of something that's not fit for the Mizbeach and therefore should be taken down? A kemitza that narrowed into a kli sharis. Really, says Ula? I don't understand. What about if you put up limbs of kachim kalim before Zriga, which also don't yet belong to the Mizbeach yet? What's the halacha? Once you put them on there, you don't take them down. Limbs of kachim kalim, I should say kemitza without a kli sharis, should be the equivalent of limbs of kachim kalim. And therefore, again, the halacha is once you put the kemitza on, you shouldn't take it down. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, no, there's a distinction. there is a distinction. So the Gemara says, Hanoch lo mechseru maise begufayhu, hani mechseru maise begufayhu. But so here's the difference. The limbs themselves are not missing anything within themselves. In other words, they're both saying, the avoda for the limbs is what? To be placed on the Mizbeach. That's their avoda. There is nothing else that has to be done with them in order to render them fit for sacrificial service. Now, again, I will say, the only thing that has to be done is a process outside of them, which is Zrika. Masha'in king, when it comes to the Kemitza, Rabbi Osai, there is something inherently deficient and missing within the Kemitza itself. What's missing in the Kemitza itself, Rabbi Osai? The actual placement in the Kli Shari. So we'll say a fascinating distinction. So ultimately, again, the limbs of the Ola will remain on the Mizbech, because just looking at the limbs themselves, there's nothing else that has to be done with them. There's a process outside of them that still has to be done. But and again, they should not have been put on the Mizbeach, but once they are put there, we don't take them down. The Kemitza, however, itself is inherently deficient, because the Kemitza essentially is not really a bona fide Kemitza until it's put into a Kli Sharis. Therefore, if you place it on the Mizbeach, you have placed essentially a non-entity there. Therefore, it has to be taken down, put into the Kli Sharis, and then reapplied. Good. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Kalarai Le'ishim. So also remember, again, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yoshua Shita is anything that is fit for the fire. Ultimately, again, if you put it on the Mizbeach, you do not take it back down. So Rabbi Yoshua, remember again, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel both quoted the same pasuk. They just focused on different parts of the pasuk. So in Rabbi Yeshua's model, he's focusing on Hiya Ola al Mukda. Right? It's the Ola on the fire. And his drasha was, just like Ola is fit for the fire, if it went up, it doesn't come down. So to anything that is fit for the fire, if it goes up, it does not come down. Rabbi Gamliel says, Hiya Ola al Mukda al Mizbeach. Just like Ola goes on the Mizbeach, so do anything that goes on the Mizbeach. Now, we'll say now what the Gemara is essentially going to do is try to understand how each party interprets the drasha or the phrase of the other. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yeshua says, Al Mukda, anything that is fit for the fire, ultimately, again, once it goes up on the fire, it remains on the fire. Rabbi Gamliel, Nami Haksiv Ola, Al Ola Al Mukda. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Gamliel do with the fact that the pasuk says, Ola Al Mukda, right? What does he do with that phrase? To which the Gemara says, Hahu La'ahadure Pokin Huda'asa. Well, so this is actually very interesting. So he goes and he says, Ola Al Mukda teaches me about Pokin. Both said, what are pokin? If you look at Rashi, this is amazing. Hahu la dure pokin, Rashi says, Delav apsulin koi alak sherin shepokin min hayekida. Both said, so apparently, what would happen sometimes is when you are burning the limbs, I don't know exactly why this happened or how this happens, but sometimes stuff pops off the Mizbech. Pokin means pop off. As a result of the heat, stuff pops off. What happens if something pops off the Mizbech? What do you do with it? You put it back on. So Rabbi Gamliel says, where did we learn that from? Ola al Mukda. Has to be on the fire. To the point that even if it pops off the fire as a result of the heat, you put it back on. V'idach. La duri pokin. Minale. So we'll say, that's Rabbi Gamliel. Because he has Mukda open, because he darshins ultimately again al Mizbeach. Where does Rabbi Yoshua learn out that pokin, that if you have a piece of sacrificial meat that pops off the Mizbeach, that you put it back on? Minale, nafkale, me asher sochal ha'ish. Bose learns out from the phrase, asher sochal ha'ish, that ultimately, again, the sacrificial part is to be consumed by the fire, to the point that even if it pops off, you end up putting it back on. V'idach, so also, what does the other opinion do with this phrase? Asher sochal. So also, remember, I'm just going to go back and forth with the drashas over here. V'idach, what does the other opinion do? Hahimi boile la'achule ola atamachzir v'yatamachzir achule k'toras. Our boss, listen to this. He says, it comes to teach me that ultimately, again, I go ahead and I return to the Mizbeach consumed olos, but I don't return to the Mizbeach consumed k'toras. Well, this is actually quite an interesting drasha, that ultimately, again, that if you have a partially consumed ola that falls off the Mizbeach, you put it back on, but if for some reason ketores, incense, fell off the Mizbeach, you don't put it back on. Okay? So the Gemara says, V'yata master achulik toras, V'tani Rabbi Chanina bar Minyumi, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, excuse me, V'tani Rabbi Chanina bar Minyumi, but Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Asher tochal ha'ish es ha'ola. The Pasuk says that the fire will consume the ola. So the Gemara says, Achule ola atamachzir. So we'll say, it's actually a very interesting halacha. So you go ahead and you return to the Mizbeach partially consumed ola. Viatamachzir achule ketores. But you do not return to the Mizbeach partially consumed ketores. We'll say again, why? Gzeres hakasev. Gzeres hakasev. So the din, so we'll say, here's what's interesting. Just, this is fascinating also because there are a number of halachos, sacrificial laws that are being taught, that are being which kind of pushed our way. So number one, again, I have the din, that if a piece of sacrificial meat pops off the Mizbeach, ultimately, again, what do you do with it? You put it back on. It seems to be now what we're learning is, but that only applies to sacrificial meat. If for some reason you had ketores that fell off the Mizbeach, then halacha lamaisa, you would not put that back on. So the Gemara says, v'idach, I'm sorry, so let me just read that again. Hashatoch ala ish ala ola v'am Mizbeach, achuli ola tamachzir, v'ya tamachzir achuli ketores. V'idach, lav memela shmamina, da achuli ola mahajinon. Ultimately, the other opinion will say, look at Rashi, lav memela shmamina, that it's obvious that you put back, partially consumed sacrificial limbs. In other words, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Well, I don't need a pasuk to teach that, we'll say, because it's obvious. Because once the din is that the sacrificial meat has to be consumed on the Mizbeach, then of course, even if it falls off, ultimately, again, I don't need a pasuk to teach me. And therefore, again, Rashi says, Lama melech shmamina hilchach, lo boy krach mina. Therefore, I don't need another pasuk ultimately to teach me this. So we'll say, what we've just done over here in this particular piece is we just showed what Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua both darshan from the word that the other one uses for their primary drasha. So remember again, I have Rabbi Yoshua saying, Chalaroi li'ishim, whatever is fit for the fire. Once it goes on the fire, it doesn't come down. Where does he get that from? The word mokda. Now we just saw what Rabbi Gamliel ultimately again does with the word mokda. Fine. Rabbi Gamliel or Chalaroi. Rabbi Gamliel says, whatever is fit for the Mizbeach, once it goes on the Mizbeach, it does not come down. So says the Gemara, for Rabbi Yoshua, Nami Haksiv Mizbeach. So we'll say, remember again, so Rabbi Gamliel's drasha is based on, Hi Ha'ola HaMukda Al HaMizbeach. On the Mizbeach. If it's fit for the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. What does Rabbi Yoshua do with the word Mizbeach? To which the Gemara says, Ha'omi Boile, Mai Taima Kamrachbana, Kalaroi LaMukda, Mikadesh Mizbeach. So listen to this, what we'll say. So the Gemara says, so remember, just to keep the drasha straight. So Rabbi Gamliel is one who's darshaning Ala Mizbeach. Ala Mizbeach teaches me that if the item is fit for the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. Rabbi Yoshua darshans based on Mokda. Now we're trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Yoshua, what does he do with the phrase Mizbeach? To which the Gemara says, Humi Boile, he needs it for the following. So the Gemara says, "My kamrachmana kol haroi lemokda mikadesh mizbeach." So the Gemara says, so what is the Torah telling me when it says that anything that is fit for the fire, the mizbeach is mikadesh? V'idach mis. So the, sorry, I read that wrong. Homi boyle. So my kamrachmana kol haroi lemokda mikadesh mizbeach. So we'll say the way Rabbi Yoshua darshens. This is Rabbi Yoshua says what the pasuk is telling me is that whatever is fit for the fire, that's what the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. In other words, we both say, Rabbi Yoshua disagrees with Rabbi Gamliel's fundamental understanding of the Pasuk. Rabbi Gamliel understands Ala Mizbeach to be a qualifying term. So interestingly enough, Rabbi Yoshua says it's not a qualifying term, but rather it's a modifying term. The qualifying term is Amokda. Whatever is fit for the fire, Ala Mizbeach. That's ultimately, again, what the Mizbeach will accept. If it belongs on the fire, the Mizbeach will accept it and it doesn't go down. But the Ala Mizbeach itself is not the qualifier, it's the modifier. V'idach, what will Rabbi Gamliel say? Mizbeach achrina ksiv. So he'll say, Rabbi Gamliel says, but here's the problem with that. It says Mizbeach twice. And he's referring over here to the pasuk, Shiv asem techapra ala Mizbeach v'kidash to. So he'll say, there's another Mizbeach. So again, once there's another Mizbeach, ultimately, again, that leaves the Mizbeach in our pasuk open for some type of drasha, to which Rabbi Gamliel uses it to teach me anything that's fit for the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "V'idach mizbeachal kriyna k'siv." V'idach, the other opinion will say, Rabbi Yeshua, "Chad lehecha dehaisel hashas hakosher, v'chad lehecha delo haisel hashas hakosher." So this is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Yeshua says you need two mizbeachs, and I'll tell you why. To teach me about a sacrificial item that had a kosher, that had a window of kashrus. And the other mizbeach teaching about a sacrificial item that never had a window of kashrus. What is this referring to? Look at Rashi. Shasa kosher lahaktara lifnei pisulo kigon lon v'yotzei v'tameh. So we'll say one refers to the type of carbon which ultimately, again, was offered up. Excuse me, had a window where it was permissible before it was offered up. For example, lon yotzei tameh. We'll say lon yotzei tameh means a carbon that remained overnight. Yotzei means a carbon that went out of its permitted boundaries. Tameh means tameh. In all of these cases, the carbon had a time in which it was permitted and then became prohibited. Versus lo haisalo shasa kosher, a sacrifice that was never kosher. For example, nishchat chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo, a carbon that was offered up outside of its specific time or its specific place. So Rabbi Yeshua seems to be saying that ultimately, again, the two mizbeachs are teaching me that in both of these types of cases, if the carbon was fit, meaning if the carbon technically was fit and therefore was placed on the mizbeach, you wouldn't take it back down. V'idach kevin the psulin inhu v'rabinhu rachmano lo shna haisa lo shasa kosher lo shna haisa lo shna lo haisa lo shasa kosher. Most of the other opinion says that once we're talking about over here the ability for the mizbeach to accept pasul karbanos, it makes no difference if the carbon had a shasa kosher or didn't have a shasa kosher. Once ultimately, again, it's going up on the mizbeach, it does not come back down. So we'll say, now we just did the reverse. So now at this point in time, what we've seen is both what Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel both do with the drashos of the other. Rabbi Shimon Omer HaZevach Kasher. Supposed to remember again, this is now Rabbi Shimon who says that whenever you have a situation of the Zevach Kasher, Nesachim Psulim, Nesachim Ksherim, Zevach Pasol, both Pasol, a Zevach, a carbon never comes off the Mizbeach, but the Nesachim do. Supposed to let's begin to analyze this. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Ola, Ma Ola Haba'a Biglal Atzma. Supposed to when the Pasuk says Ola, just like the owner of Rabbosai comes haba biglal atzma, which Rabbosai ultimately means the ola is its own self-contained sacrificial item. Af kol ha'boim b'chlal atzman. So Rabbosai, so too, this din, that even if it's pasul and it goes up on the mizbeach, it doesn't come off the mizbeach, is confined ultimately again to what we'll call inherently sacrificial item. I should say, independently sacrificial items, which means items whose offering is not dependent on something else. Yatsu nesachim haba'in bichlal zevach. Bosai, this is different than nesachim. Why is it different than nesachim? Because Bosai, no one ever brings nesachim on their own. Nesachim are always what? Are always a nesach is a wine libation. Is always an accompaniment to something else. It is never brought on its own. It's always an accompaniment to something else. So the Gemara says, the Rosh said, this is Rabbi Shimon's drasha. So if Rabbi Shimon's whole idea is this ability for the carbon to accept something that is pasul, but yet tell you that once you put it up, you don't have to take it down. It's only something that is an independent sacrificial entity. But something that is only brought with something else does not have this same, is not granted this same carbonic inclusivity. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Bitok Shenemar Kolon Agea B'Mizbeach Yikdosh. So we'll say when the Pasuk says, anything that touches the Mizbeach will be sanctified. Shomea ani bein ro'i u'bein she'eino ro'i. I would have thought that maybe this applies to something that is fit or something that is not fit. Talmud lomar kvasim. Therefore, the pasuk says kvasim ma kvasim ru'uyin. So we'll say just like a keves is fit for the mizbeach, so too what afkol ro'i. So too we'll say it refers to anything ultimately again that is fit for the mizbeach. Rabbi Kiva says ola. We focus on the word ola. Ma'ola ru'uya, just like an ola is something which is fit for the mizbeach, af kol ru'uya, so to anything that is fit for the mizbeach, Rabbosai is granted this special, we'll call it altar inclusivity, that once it goes up, it doesn't come back down. Ma'ben ayah, Rabbosai, what is the nafkamina between all of these opinions? Amar avad bar ava, Olas ha'of psula ikebena. But say, here's the interesting part. The fundamental machlokis or the nafkamina would be, what happens if you end up offering up an invalid olas ha'of, an invalid bird ola? Mar maisila me'ola. So we'll say, the opinion learns it out from ola, would say that even an invalid bird offering, if offered up on the mizbeach, would be valid. Umar maisile mikvasim. And the other opinion learns out from where? From kvasim, from sheep. So we'll say, therefore, he would say, this ability for the mizbeach to go ahead and accept invalid karbonos is only a din by what? Only a din by animal sacrifices and not by an invalid bird ola. Ulaman de maisile mikvasim. Haksiv ola. The one who learns that ultimately, again, from the word kvasim. What does it do with the fact that it says ola? Iksiv kvasim lo ksiv ola. If it would have just said kvasim and not ola, hava amina afilu mechayim, I might have thought that this applies even to the animal while it is still alive. Because of rachmana ola. Therefore, the pasuk says, ultimately ola, that it only applies once the animal is shechted. Vikasiv ola. And if it would have just said ola lo ksiv kvasim, hava amina afilu mincha, I might have thought, ultimately, again, it applies even to a karban mincha. Therefore, kasev rachmana kvasim. Ma'ika ben hani tanai lahani tanai. Demasnis. And I will say, what's the difference between these tanai that we just quoted above in the Braisa and the tanai in our Mishnah? Amra papa, kimatzim shekitchu bekli ika benayhu. Ultimately, I will say, the nafkamina will be the case of a komet, of kimatzim, that were sanctified in a klisharis, but then subsequently became pasul. The terai didan lo yerdu, according to the tanam that we just mentioned above, if you brought this up on the mizbeach, you would not take it down. Rashi says, the terai didan Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yoshua lo yerdu, the gamri le mukda mizbeach, bahani b'nei mizbeach umuktanenu achlo nifsalu. So I say, ultimately again to our tanam, ultimately again they would not be taken down, because whether you subscribe to the mukda drasha or mizbeach drasha, these are fit for both the mizbeach as well as the fire. However, the tanam de masnisa yerdu, but ultimately again to the tanam of the Mishnah we just quoted above, namely Rabbi Yossi Alili and Rabbi Akiva, you would take it down. Why? Because ultimately, again, the dispensation only applies to something that falls in the family of Ola. But since Mincha doesn't fall into the family of Ola, if it was disqualified, you would take it down. So we'll stop over here for today, but just understand what we're leaving off with. We're leaving off with the fundamental machlokes still between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. We just added a few more people into the mix just now. But the fundamental issue, which we will, Amir Tashem, resolve tomorrow, is this. Here's what we know. Here's what everybody agrees with. Is that there are certain times where even if the karban isn't valid, if it's brought on the mizbeach, then what? You need not take it down. The karban, essentially the mizbeach, affects an acceptance even of an invalid karban. The machlokas is what is the scope of that altar inclusivity or altar acceptance. Is it any item that comes on the mizbeach, or only items that are placed on the fire? Again, we saw already one nafkamina between that would be blood and wine libations, but again, we're now beginning to see other potential nafkaminas as well, and Amir Tashem, we will resolve this machlokas tomorrow.